Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 54 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in today's podcast, I'll be talking about being steadfast. I'll talk about being steadfast. This will very likely be a two-part series or a three-part series. I don't want each podcast to be too long, right? And the anchor scripture I'll be using today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, that says to be steadfast, to be unmovable. He says, like, you know, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the Bible is telling us here to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord. Right? These are, to be honest with you, all descriptions of what it means to be steadfast, right? Because the Bible is promising us that our labor is not going to be in vain. That's just the truth. Even with many activities of life, right? Especially when you're engaged in the right activity, when you're steadfast, right? There's usually going to be some really good reward in the end. If you work hard, right? You're going to be rewarded. I mean, the Bible says that the husbandman that labors will be the first partaker of the fruit. Right? So you're the husbandman, you've labored in steadfastness, and you're going to be the first partaker, right? So what does it mean to be steadfast? Well, being steadfast means many different things, right? I mean, like, one definition I love is that, you know, it means to be resolute, means to be dutifully firm and unwavering, right? It means to be faithful, right? The thing is, you are staying the course, right? Regardless of what's going on around you, you're staying the course. Your surrounding circumstances don't determine your actions for the day, right? Is your resolve, right? Is what you've resolved to do, is your belief system that you're staying steadfast to, right? I mean, if you remember the people in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, right? They stayed steadfast in spite of the surrounding circumstances, right? They kept obeying God. They kept doing the right thing. They kept pressing forward. The thing is, whether you like it or not, a person, like, you're going to see challenges in the world. Unfortunately, we live in a time of Christianity where people peddle this message that, you know, when you give your life to Christ, you'll never face any problems. And that's a lie, right? The Bible even says that right from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, they take it by force. If you're suffering violence, that means you're facing opposition, right? In fact, there's this place in the book of Revelations that says that, you know, I've placed a great and effective door before you, but there are many adversaries, right? So the thing is, for you to walk through open doors, I mean, open door there means moving to the next level, you know, progressing, succeeding in life, right? For you to move to that next level, there are going to be adversaries, right? But again, you need to be steadfast. You need to have faith in God, right? To overcome those adversaries and keep pressing on, right? That's why I love Paul. He says, I press on toward the mark of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? So really, being steadfast means you're remaining fixed in the right path. You're remaining fixed in doing the right thing, right? And unfortunately, you know, steadfastness is something that is a quality that's really lacking in our culture today, right? If you look through many aspects of our culture today, you'll see that being steadfast is slowly becoming a dwindling virtue that you find among people, right? I mean, right now we have this drive-through mentality. You've probably heard me talk about this in many different podcasts, right? But, you know, like in marriage, right? You know, people are no longer wanting to be steadfast in marriage. Right. Again, the thing is, when you go into marriage, it's not like marriage is going to be a bed of roses. Right. Marriage is sweet. Marriage is amazing. Marriage is a blessing. I can promise you that it's a great, great, great blessing. But it does come with its challenges. Right. But the fact that you face challenges does not mean your marriage should end. Right. You need to remain steadfast in the midst of those marital troubles. Because again, right, like, yeah, I just kind of think of it this way, right? Like babies, right? You know, when the process of labor and delivery, right? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, the baby is being squished in mom and everything, going through those uterine contractions. But the thing you get at the end is glorious, right? So in marriage, right, you know, many people are no longer steadfast in marriage, right? Or even in education, right? You see people, they want something quick and dirty, boom, and they get to their final destination. They don't want to go through the process, right? Going through due process to make that right foundation. The thing is, when you build on a right foundation, then when challenges of life come, you are able to stand strong. But when you build on a wrong foundation, on a poor foundation, when challenges come, when novel circumstances come, those things will completely topple you over, right? Like if you remember the parable in the Bible of the man that built his house on sand versus the man that built his house on the rock. The man that built his house on the rock, building on rock takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, requires you to be really steadfast, right? But in the end, you're able to stand strong, right? So you see many people, their education is on a faulty foundation, right? You see this many times. I mean, as a teacher, I've seen this many times. You see people, they just memorize their way. They have no understanding. But then when you write a good exam for them, you notice that, wow, these people just struggle, right? I mean, if you even look at in the area of, like sex, right? Being steadfast is waiting till marriage, right? To experience sex. I'm telling you, like, sex is a lot better. Is a lot sweeter when you do it within the confines of marriage, right? So, like, just preserve that memory. You don't want to have, while you're having sex with your spouse, you don't want to have memories of other sexual partners that you've had, you know? You want that thing to be, there's just a certain sanctity of waiting till marriage with sex, right? And then, you know, delayed gratification. How many people are willing to practice delayed gratification? No, they're not willing to delay their gratification. They want instant gratification, right? But remember that part of the book of Proverbs that says that an inheritance that is gained quickly in the beginning is not going to be very pleasant in the end, right? The prodigal son in the Bible, he got his inheritance very quickly. But was that inheritance pleasant in the end? Absolutely not. That inheritance was not pleasant. It was not pleasant at all, right? Or you see people committing fraud to make money, right? They don't want to go through the path, right? You know, thank God we live in a situation in the U.S. now where if you can sneeze, you can breathe, and you have arms and legs, you can probably find a job, right? But you see people, they want quick money. They want to make money. They want to become an instant sensation, right? But they're not willing to work hard, right? The thing is, people forget that there's such a thing as dignity in labor, right? They don't want to do any of those things to be successful, right? You see many people, they have like this YOLO mentality. You only live once. Let me just roll the dice. Those people are not willing to be steadfast. They want to get the results right now, right? But again, even if you think about it this way, right? Like many times, food that is cooked slowly ends up tasting way better, way richer than food that is cooked quickly, right? Because that food that was cooked slowly had to go through that process of steadfastness, right? And the thing is, you know, being steadfast requires you to be very patient. Really, I'll just dedicate this podcast to what does it mean to be steadfast, right? So, you know, being steadfast, it requires you to be really, really patient, right? Again, just pressing through, plodding along, right? Even if surrounding circumstances don't seem to be confirming with what you want, right? You just keep plodding along in spite of challenges, right? You need a lot of patience to do that, right? And really, being steadfast requires you to be self-controlled, right? You need to put yourself under, right? Again, to not give in to the lust of your flesh, right? You need to put yourself under. Really, being steadfast requires a lot of self-control. And also, being steadfast requires you to have a long-term mindset, right? A person that is steadfast does not think about things in the short term. A person that is steadfast thinks about things in the long term. They think long range. They think far ahead. They think far out, right? Versus a person that wants like the drive-through. Drive-through, you want your food right now. You want that thing right now. But a person that is steadfast looks ahead and says, you know what? Let me think long-term. What is the thing that makes the most long-term sense in this circumstance? Right. And then a person that is steadfast is a person that is consistent. Right. They keep making the right choices every day. They keep doing the right thing. They make a commitment. They make a New Year's resolution and they stick to it regardless of what happens. Right. You see some people, because the thing is, if you're looking for excuses, you're going to find them. That is just the truth. If you're looking for excuses, I've said this many times to many people, you're going to find them. Right. But people that are steadfast, they don't find excuses. They find ways out. They find solutions. They are not excuse-focused people. They are solution-focused people, right? So you need to be steadfast, right? Again, in spite of the excuses, just keep pressing forward. Oh, I have this commitment. I have this thing. I have this thing. Or I have to get up early. I have to be at work for 18 hours, Steadfast people do not focus on excuses. The first question they ask themselves is, what is the way I can walk around these challenges, these excuses that I potentially have, so I can navigate my way to my destiny, right? So don't neglect your commitments. Don't neglect your destiny. Remain steadfast and all will be well with you. So as I wrap up this podcast, again, one thing that has made a big difference in my life, although again, it requires steadfast commitment every day, is giving my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has transformed my life. Yes, I've made mistakes in the past, but God truly, by his son Jesus Christ, died for me on the cross and set me free. And I want to extend that same invitation to you today. If you want to accept that invitation of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to save me from sin. Come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will and to be steadfast in obeying your word all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you just said that prayer, congratulations, you're a child of God. I will encourage you to do two things. First, find the Bible. Find a translation that you understand. A good place to start is the book of John. Read the Bible, do what it says. Remain steadfast in well-doing. Remain steadfast in obeying God's word, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then the second thing I will encourage you to do is to find the Bible-believing church. Notice I did not say find a church. I said Bible-believing church. There are many churches that are not Bible-believing, right? They look like they're godly, but they're not really godly. They preach things that are contrary to the word of God. So find the Bible-believing church, attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. But there are many wonderful churches all around the world, right? Find the Bible-believing church, seek community with other believers, do God's will, remain steadfast, and all will be well with you. Until our next episode, have a wonderful week, have a wonderful Sunday, and God bless you. Thank you.